ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
It's Mellencamp. It's the Coug.
Do you Shazam that?
I did, because it's bothering me. I know, like, it sounds like, because it kind of sounds like the intro to a Sheryl Crow song that I know.
Right.
And I'm like, is this that Sheryl Crow? Because it's a loop.
It sounds a little poppy from, like, the mid-90s,
yeah,
but not, like, actual pop music.
And it's a loop, so, like, it doesn't get into the song, because I know the song. Once I saw what it was, I'm like, oh, yeah, I know that song.
Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000 in the ESPN Chicago app. You can watch the show on Twitch as well. ESPN 1000 Chicago to watch the show on Twitch. Abdallah, let's talk about this. You and I get a chance to host the college football show here on ESPN 1000 each fall, mm-hmm. Chicago's College Tailgate with Jonathan Hood. And we're proudly presented by Coors Light throughout the football
Delicious.
Season. Woo! The mountains are blue.
Always.
Cold, refreshing, Coors Light. I was tweeted this question from Rudy last night about college football. Rudy Lomberger. He tweets us this. You two guys are college football guys. Could Indeed. You address the issue of bringing back football without students on campus? And does that not validate that players are not considered students, but employees of the university? College football was meant to be a part of the basic student experience. So Rudy tweeted that to us last night. And I wanted to get into the show because Rudy listens to all the shows. And I think it's a valid question when we look at the landscape of college football. Seems like many of the Power Five schools have made an announcement that they are planning to go forward to play this fall, even if there are no students on campus. And many of the campuses have suggested and put in place that there are going to be students on campus, like Notre Dame, very close to here downtown Chicago. They are saying that students will be on campus in the fall.
Yeah, Notre Dame, I know Alabama has, I know South Carolina has, a few other schools have as well. There are a few schools that have also said, you know, no, we're
like,
not.
Like Oregon is out front saying that there will probably be no students at any games,
yeah.
But we are kind of looking towards actually playing this
fall. Not only playing, but having students on campus. Like, I think if you have the schools that are planning to have students on campus have already started their pre, you know, their summer workouts. Like Alabama had 5 players test positive on Friday for Corona. You know, they tested them on Thursday. They got the results on Friday, and those 5 players were removed from the team and they're quarantined. So I think that if students are planning to go back, because most colleges are operating off of this belief that, like Major League Baseball is as well, that there's going to be a second wave. So colleges are trying to get that first semester in. They might go to school a little bit early. They're going to end around Thanksgiving, and then they're not going to come back until it's safe. So they're going to have this elongated winter, you know, fall/winter break, which my first year at DePaul, that was DePaul's schedule. My first year at DePaul, before I dropped out and went to Columbia, my first year at DePaul, our schedule was off from Thanksgiving till New Year's.
I think DePaul is still on that schedule.
I thought they adjusted it. They are? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, that it was awesome.
Tyler calls DePaul games, so he would know.
You would know. Yeah, you would know. Is DePaul going back in the are they planning on going back in the fall?
As of now, yeah.
Okay.
Everything that I've heard, yeah.
So,
but that seems to be the plan with every school.
Yeah,
right
so
now.
They're going to plan on doing whether it's that they're going to, you know, limit the amount of kids that can register for each class. If you want to be online, I think they'll have to make, you know, if you have a compromised immune system, they have to have a way for you to, you know, take the class online or be able to view the teacher doing the lecture, right?
Well, basically what they're doing is any big lecture hall, they're just going to make those classes online now.
Yeah. Yeah.
As they should.
They're a waste of time to begin with.
Oh, dude.
I mean, you and I are so lucky that we are of the age that there's a generation that was before us that actually had to pay attention in college lectures.
I can't imagine.
But you and I, we were like the first generation of students that had our own laptops in classes. Like, everyone had their own laptop in every class. So you just sat on Facebook for the entire lecture. You just did that. Like, that was that. Like, our generation, if you ever see the movie The Social Network, like, we were in school as that was taking place.
Oh, yeah.
As Facebook was coming to campuses across the country, we were like, oh, there's this new website. You go to it, and then you sit on that website the entirety of all the lectures. And that's why Abdallah and I are here today, because we didn't learn anything in school.
Yeah. Well,
all right, back to what you were previously saying.
We learned stuff at Columbia.
Yeah, to do radio, but we didn't learn anything else.
No.
All right, back to what you were saying.
Okay, so my point is that I've been saying that if you have students, if you have athletes on campus and you don't have students on campus, then you raise the question of, are these kids employees or are they whatever? But there's been new legislation that student athletes can earn some money for their likeness. And I think that kind of takes away from it. But ultimately, everybody knows that this is a weird year. Like, everybody knows that, all of a sudden we're going to call student athletes employees and we're just going to change the way college football and the way college basketball is played. Because here's the thing. If college football doesn't get played and you don't have some fans in the stands and you don't get the TV money and you don't split that revenue, the Big Ten Network doesn't get to split that revenue between all of them and all that kind of stuff, a lot of these sports won't be able to be played. A lot of these other sports, because we've talked about how much money football brings in and how much compared to basketball and softball and baseball and all the other sports. It's insane. These schools need football to be played. And whether they play it and whether they play it with fans in the stands, there's a lot more fans. There's a lot more revenue that comes to college football from having fans in the stands, because every stadium holds 100,000 plus. You know, it's not like going to Soldier where it's 60. You know, we went to Bryant-Denny Stadium. It was 102,000 people in that place. It was massive. And I don't know if they're going to get to that point this year. You know, you saw in Texas, the governor upped his percentage from 25% capacity at colleges and stadiums. And he took off when I read the article, I didn't see anything about indoor versus outdoor. All I saw was 25% capacity to 50% capacity at colleges and pro stadiums.
And all the college teams play outside.
Yeah.
So
well, the football, obviously, all the football. Fine. Yeah. So if Texas plays and they can have 50% capacity, you know, then why? That's a lot of money for the university.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of money for the Longhorn Network. That's a lot of money for the Big 12. That's a lot of money for everybody. So I think that you're going to see teams that, you know, you get to back to practice, you're going to have guys with Alabama, like Alabama did, you're going to have them test positive for corona, you're going to have to quarantine them, and then, you know, if Saban is smart, he'll have herd immunity by the time the season starts, so none of them will miss games.
Is that what Saban's trying to do
with the Alabama players
testing positive for COVID-19 this week?
I didn't see any other, but you're going to... Players are going to test positive.
So are you saying Saban's idea is to have 70% of his squad get coronavirus now?
Herd immunity.
So then by the time the season rolls around, week one, they can take down USC in that opener.
Herd immunity.
So to answer Rudy's question on Twitter, at Chris Bleck and at Adam A. Abdallah, you can tweet the show anytime. I would say no. It does not validate that the players are not considered students but employees, because even if this was not a year where we are all dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic, athletes are on campus when students are not on campus anyway. There are many college football, college basketball, soccer players, mm-hmm. baseball players who are there throughout the summer. And they are either taking a few classes or they're just working on their sport. You know, like, many students stay on campus throughout the summer mm-hmm. to continue to work. So I get it. It will look a little strange if no students are on campus, but if campuses around the country are opening up for some classes in a socially distanced world, I think it's okay. And I even think it's okay if classes are not held on campus. I think e-learning will take place. I think students will get some form of education in the fall if they are going to a university around the country. But I think more importantly is when you look at what college football has laid out and what college football means to the rest of sports for collegiate athletes, especially with Title IX and being able to give fair money to both entities or around the platforms of all the different athletic ventures that all these schools have, college football is the one that makes the money. Now, the NCAA tournament for men's basketball makes a lot of money as well. Outside of that, when you really break it down, you know, men's lacrosse and men's cross country and women's gymnastics is not pulling the numbers, the money that college football is pulling.
And a lot of those sports will have to shut down if
you
they
can
don't
even
play
combine all of them.
Yeah.
They're not coming close to what college football means to television rights and what college football means to people showing up to venues around the country. And if you're a Big Ten fan, you live here in Chicago, and you say, you know what? But guys, I get it. In the South, it's a big deal. College football, to me, is not one of my top favorite sports. Listen, Abdallah and I love college football. Jonathan Hood loves college football. We live here in Chicago, too. When you look at the TV numbers on a weekly basis, the NFL crushes everything. Mm-hmm. The second item that's up when you look at TV ratings for sports, for live television programming, dramas, whatever you see on TV, it's usually college football that runs right behind the NFL. So the NFL is king. College football is second. And so if you can have the TV dollars of a college football season and you're able to then distribute that to the universities and then throughout the athletic programs and then to the universities to use for buildings and whatever you want to use for that university, I think that's a major deal. And it's a major step forward for universities overall, because I think the hit that they took from ending all those spring sports and then heading into the summer and basically canceling the last month plus of school for all students across this country, they're going to need college football to get the dollars back into the university pockets.
And I also don't think you're going to see a situation like we've talked about with, you know, the NFL or baseball or something like that, if whether or not, you know, if they'll allow fans in the stands for everybody or nobody, because they need the revenue, right? The colleges need this money because they may not be getting money from room and board from students. They may not be getting money from students they may have to, you know, they're going to eat a lot of that revenue from that. So I think you look at Texas, right? 50%. That's Texas A&M. That's Texas University. That's TCU. That's all these big schools in Baylor in Texas that are going to be able to have 50% capacity, if not more, by the time we get to there. Like, think about it. In a week, the governor went from 25% to 50%.
Right.
I don't know if we'll be at 100% capacity by the time football starts. Hey, I don't think so.
Listen, and what we...
Look at Vegas. Vegas is mask optional. Dude, it gives me it gives me the willies. I don't know, dude. It makes my skin crawl to see that many people in a place with no masks
on. See those videos?
Well, yeah, look at the fight yesterday. Like, the fight itself was very well done, the MMA event. But if you saw the videos going around Twitter of people walking around casinos, masks optional. It's, sure, I get it. That's their right and everything like that. But ultimately, like, whew, it just looked weird, man.
Listen, I get it. We're all as a society starting to open up, and phase three is here in Chicago, and you can go out and eat at restaurants. The pandemic is still happening, though. And so the World Health Organization yesterday comes out and suggests that all people at all times in public should be wearing masks. So, like, you see the videos from Vegas of people not wearing masks, or people at bars or doing whatever they're doing, not wearing masks. I think we all got to be smart about it. I know that we didn't schedule a PSA portion of the show today, but like, the PSA is the pandemic's not over. I mean, we still have to be smart. Socially distance. Like, the only time the World Health Organization suggests that you don't technically have to wear a mask is if you are completely avoid all other people. There it is. That's the PSA.
The more you know.
Ryan Pace last week talked about the quarterback situation for the Chicago Bears, and how does that relate to the college football quarterbacks that will be playing this fall? Who could be available if the Bears look to a quarterback in the draft? We talk about it next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
We will hear from Ryan Pace in just a moment right here on ESPN 1000. I'm Chris Bleck along with Adam Abdallah. Support Sylvie in his journey fighting cancer and help others facing the same fight. You can purchase your Sylvie Strong t-shirts at obviousshirts.com. All proceeds go to the V Foundation. There are shirts for men and women and one design created by Sylvie's son, Mason. They're on sale now at obviousshirts.com. It's a great cause. The V Foundation has a great relationship with ESPN and ESPN Radio. So support Sylvie, support the cause, Sylvie Strong. Go to obviousshirts.com.
I was going to say, I want to see, like, I want the Sylvie Strong shirt to be the new hoopster wear at Lollapalooza this year.
At the festivals?
Yeah, but they're, we're not going to. Just wear it on your porch.
You could still wear the shirt.
You could still wear the shirt. I love it. But I wanted to see a bunch of dudes in Sylvie Strong shirts at like Pitchfork this year.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, but there's no Pitchfork.
So. No, there will not.
Maybe Riot Fest. They haven't canceled Riot Fest yet. So
it's in September. Not
it's in September. Herd immunity.
Yeah. I don't think we're close to that yet. Bleck and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. So Ryan Pace last week was on Pro Football Talk PM, the podcast with Mike Florio. And he talked about Mitchell Trubisky and the fifth-year option and why the Bears handled that situation the way they did. Here's Ryan Pace, GM for the Chicago Bears.
For sure. When we looked at the fifth-year option, it was a date that we had to make a decision on that move. And we had plenty of time to discuss and not have to make that decision until after the draft. So that was a collective decision amongst a lot of people. And just because we didn't exercise the fifth-year option doesn't mean that we don't believe in Mitch. I mean, we did the same thing with Kyle Fuller a couple of years ago, and it worked out really well for him. So Mitch is in a position right now, and he knows it. Matt and I met with him, and we were transparent. We were honest. It's a competition, and I think I like the way he's responded right now. He's really embraced the challenge. He's in a great spot. And so it really doesn't change anything for us. We got a lot of competition going on throughout our roster. I know the focus is on the quarterback position. But we expect him to embrace the challenge. I know Nick Foles is going to embrace the challenge, and we'll do what's best for the Bears.
So that's Ryan Pace, GM of the Chicago Bears, on the Pro Football Talk PM podcast with Mike Florio. He also talked about the timetable for the Bears to select a starting quarterback in this strange offseason.
Yeah, we haven't said, hey, this is going to be the timetable. We've just said, hey, look, it's going to be a daily evaluation for us. And obviously there's a little bit of acceleration to it. Matt and I have already talked about, playing our players more in the preseason this year. We hadn't done that as much the past 2 years. So that's going to be important to get the starters out there. There's probably about four different position battles I can think of throughout a roster. And I know quarterback's the focus, but there's a couple other important ones as well. So I think playing our starters through the preseason is going to be important to see that. We're hopeful we can have combined practices with the Denver Broncos. I don't know if that's going to happen. We got our fingers crossed on that. But all those moments are going to be valuable for us to really evaluate that competition along with a handful of other ones.
So there's Ryan Pace, GM of the Chicago Bears, talking about no timetable for the starting quarterback position. Obviously, the Bears, when they made the trade for Nick Foles, this was going to be a quarterback competition this training camp. And as we head into the fall, you heard the comments there from Pace on Trubisky, the way they've handled this. Basically, the overall conversation is this. If Trubisky or Nick Foles don't light the world on fire this season, there's a pretty high percentage based on the fact that when we head to the draft next year, the Bears are going to have to look at quarterback as a position they're going to have to draft when we get to that point next spring. Like, unless you tell me that Nick Foles comes out and plays like a top 10 quarterback, like we've seen him play at points in his career, just not consistently, or Mitchell Trubisky takes that next step and develops into a top 10 quarterback, they are likely next offseason to be looking towards the draft as a quarterback to solve their future issues.
Well, I think you should be looking at the draft to solve your quarterback issues as it is, like a high pick.
Oh, they should have this last season.
Well, yeah,
they,
you should have this
you
season.
You and I were on the Jalen Hurts train. We thought that they should have done what the Philadelphia Eagles did and select Jalen Hurts.
And the Eagles... What? The Eagles have a quarterback.
They have a guy.
Like, Jalen Hurts doesn't make sense. You and I know Eagles fans. They are not happy that the Eagles used a pick on Jalen Hurts.
What's the best commodity to have in all football? Quarterbacks.
Yeah.
There are no other position. Stockpile quarterbacks.
And don't... This team is too... The defense is too good for this team to be in the Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes.
And so that's what I wanted to get to on ESPN.com. College football writer David Hale has the college football quarterback tiers. Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence are in a league of their own. So if you're a Bears fan, you're looking at this column and you're kind of taking into account what the Bears are going to be this season and what they're going to be in next season. So, okay, I think it's off the table that they're going to be so bad that they will be drafting in the top 10. I think that is unlikely. The Bears will not be in position to be selecting a quarterback in the top 10 picks.
Yeah.
Because to start this column, tier one quarterbacks in college football this season who will be available next year in the NFL draft. When you look at these quarterbacks, the can't-miss superstars, Justin Fields for Ohio State, Trevor Lawrence from Clemson. I agree with both of those quarterbacks, but I don't think the Bears are going to be bad enough to be selecting one of those quarterbacks.
They're not going to be one of the three or four worst teams. Now, there's the possibility that, you know, if Ryan Pace is... Here's the thing. It's twofold, because I could say Ryan Pace will trade up for a quarterback, but odds are if they're picking in the top 10, Ryan Pace isn't here. And someone else is making that draft pick. If they don't make the playoffs, and if they don't...
If they're so bad that they miss the playoffs and they're picking in the top 10.
Ryan Pace isn't making that pick, for sure.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Matt Nagy might be making that pick, but Ryan Pace is not making that pick.
So you're saying it's like a Bill O'Brien situation where he's running all the show?
It's a coup.
It's his show?
It's a coup.
It's the only show in town?
It's a coup. Well, no, I think he'll bring in a football personnel guy.
But he's making the decisions, like he's Bill Belichick?
I would have liked Matt Nagy to be making the decisions in the first place, because he liked Patrick Mahomes more than he liked Mitchell Trubisky.
Well, I mean, if that's the logic you want to go with, I could also throw right back at you that John Fox should probably be the guy because he liked Deshaun Watson better than Trubisky.
Okay, sure.
I don't think that's what we need here.
The point is that if they are that bad, then Ryan Pace is not making the decision. If they are middle of the pack, you know, they're picking 15th, 16th, 17th, something like that, maybe it's Ryan Pace, but I don't see how he gets another shot at a quarterback after screwing it up this bad. Because, I mean, and you look at the crop of quarterbacks here, you look at these guys that are in the second tier here on ESPN.com, none of these guys really do it for me.
Well, okay, so the column on ESPN.com, obviously Fields and Lawrence will be players that you can draft next year. Not all of these players are going to be players who would be coming into the NFL draft. There's sophomores, there's true freshmen on the list. So there's a whole bunch of different guys in college football. So when they break down tier one, can't miss superstars, I agree. Justin Fields, the 41 passing touchdowns and 2 interceptions last year at Ohio State, he was incredible. And he had the injury towards the end, his knee, but he basically is a player that I'm looking at as, obviously, he will be in the running for the Heisman next season, as he was this past college football season. So tier two, elite quarterbacks. There are 6 names listed here. We have Tanner Morgan from Minnesota. They had a fantastic season last year. Sam Howell from North Carolina. Brock Purdy from Iowa State. De'Eriq King from Miami, who transferred from Houston. Sam Ellington from Texas. And Keaton Slovis from USC. From that list, you know, Tanner Morgan and what he was able to do for P.J. Fleck at Minnesota, not only were they one of the more surprising teams of the Big Ten last season, but they are still on the upward trajectory. I think there's more from Tanner Morgan we might see this upcoming football season. He also has 2 stud wide receivers. I believe one of them has already left the school, now in the NFL. The other one coming back to school, probably one of the better wide receivers in all of college football. So when you look at Minnesota, I like Tanner Morgan. Brock Purdy's interesting as well from Iowa State. De'Eriq King, I think, will be fascinating to see how his season goes at Miami, because he was injured last season, didn't play a full season, then transfers to Miami. And if Miami can turn things around, that might be intriguing to kind of keep an eye on.
Yeah, and when you look at those guys, none of those guys really, like Bears quarterback Sam Ellinger, like does that do it for you? He's on his 7th year at Texas at this point.
Say the Bears are middle of the road. So on the cusp of a playoff spot, maybe a 7-9, 8-8, 10-6, somewhere in that realm. So they're picking what? Towards the second half of the first round?
Yeah.
You're probably not picking Tanner Morgan or Brock Purdy at the back end of the first round. So you're looking at quarterbacks in the second, third, fourth round. And that's kind of where we get to the point this season in the NFL draft where we saw guys like Eason, Fromm, Hurts, these guys who were not first-round quarterbacks, even though the teams, some of the teams selecting them, need a quarterback for the future.
Yeah, and if you look at these...
Love was another name.
These guys on Walter Football has these guys like kind of ranked. Obviously, it's Lawrence, it's Justin Fields, and then he's got... after that, he's got Kellen Mond at Texas A&M. He's in one of those tiers.
So Kellen Mond on the ESPN tier, elite like Joe Flacco, five players. Kellen Mond was the first name, the tier three quarterback. Jamie Newman from Georgia. KJ Costello from Mississippi State, transfer from Stanford.
But is Jamie Newman even going to play now? Didn't Georgia just get a transfer quarterback in there?
Yeah, they just transferred for...
USC's quarterback just
transferred. He's not playing.
There. Okay, Jamie Newman it is.
Yeah.
KJ Costello, he has... Walter Football has ranked in there. Sam Ellinger's number six. And then a bunch of directional schools. The one guy that I've seen a lot of, and I think that this is... If Ryan Pace is around... It's Trey Lance out of North Dakota State.
Yeah.
Trey Lance, 28 touchdowns, no interceptions, I believe. And then he's a runner, too. He ran for like 1,000 yards, too. So he's a dual-threat quarterback.
Wasn't he a McShay name? Like one of the names that McShay started to put out after the draft ended?
Yeah.
Watch out for this guy. No one knows who he is. Bryce Love, take that.
Well, NBC Sports has him ranked in he'll be like a top 50 pick. So that's a second, that's second round, that's second day right there.
Yeah.
So that seems like a guy that if you see a fake mustache, glasses wearing with a low hat at a North Dakota State game, it's probably Ryan Pace.
Ryan Pace trying not to be seen.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, man. Bleck and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. Coming up next, each show that we host, we have our NBA backstory segment. Today, we go to 2000, the Western Conference Finals. Lakers, Blazers, Game 7, we talk about it next.
You're listening to Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Download the podcast, Fleck and Abdallah, on the ESPN Chicago app. Right there on the app, you can listen to all the podcasts here at the station.
It just turns on. Like, you open it up, and it's like, whoa, it's playing. Like, you don't have to click anything. You just open it up, and then you can hear, take that, take that.
But if you want to hear us, you can click on something to hear the podcast for Black and Abdallah.
Yeah, when we're done. I'm talking, like, right now.
Oh, yeah, when you open it, it plays. It's great.
When you open it, it plays. If you want to find the podcast, the Golf Pod is up, golf podcast. If you want to, I think this week it, Carmen Yurko did it again and talked about the return of golf. Next week we get a PGA event.
Pretty exciting.
So, yeah. Yeah, download that. Download, subscribe, tell a friend, as I say.
Can I give you a 6-second take on golf? What have you been waiting for, golf? You could have been playing the whole time. That's my take.
It was only 4 seconds.
Okay. So, Bleck and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000. You can find all of our NBA backstory podcasts right there on the Bleck and Abdallah section on the ESPN Chicago app. What these are individual segments where we talk about one story, one highlight, one game in NBA history, and kind of give you a little bit of a backstory on that game. Today's edition, we are taking a look at the 2000 Western Conference Finals, Game 7, the Los Angeles Lakers going against the Portland Trail Blazers. It was a fantastic game, and really, when you look at this contest and you kind of start to look through the different numbers and you turn on the telecast and you watch it, I watched the game yesterday, it's insane to me how many good players are on the bench for both of these teams. Obviously, this is the first title run for the Lakers in that three-peat with Shaq and Kobe. Their starting lineup, Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant, Glenn Rice, Ron Harper, AC Green. So you have a bunch of old guys mixed in with Kobe and Shaq who are young, right? Then you go to the bench, Robert Horry, Brian Shaw, Rick Fox, Derek Fisher, all coming off the bench for the Lakers, all legitimate players in their title run going forward. Then you go to the Portland side of things, Rasheed Wallace in his prime, an older Scottie Pippen after his run with the Chicago Bulls, Steve Smith, who had his time with the Hawks, Arvydas Sabonis towards the end of his career, and we know that he was a legendary player before he even came to the NBA, and Damon Stoudemire, who was awesome with the Raptors, Rookie of the Year, to start his career. But basically, Portland, outside of Rasheed Wallace, who they didn't even draft from the first point, they're just a collection of vets that were put together and became this team. And their bench, Detlef Schrempf, Bonzi Wells, Brian Grant, Jermaine O'Neal, Greg Anthony. Like both benches legit in this matchup. And then it was a seven-game series, a really fun series as well.
I was so torn about this series because I kind of wanted Scotty to go to the Western to the finals to say he could get another
with his own
one
team.
With his own team. Yeah. But then also I was like, nah, I don't want him to do that. Because like I don't want him to have won one without Jordan. And I also loved Kobe. So I wanted Kobe to go to see that Kobe and Shaq come to fruition and win a championship with them. So like I was very conflicted during this series. Be like, yeah, Scotty, all right, no, Lakers, okay, all right. Well, let's just hope both teams have fun. It turned into one of those things. And I was like, oh, I just hope for seven games. And you got a seventh game. You got a great seventh game.
I distinctly remember back then I loved Rasheed Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Damon Stoudemire. And obviously a big Scottie Pippen fan. For the Lakers, I loved Kobe. I could not stand Shaquille O'Neal.
Really?
In the first title run, like now I appreciate what he did. But back in the day, I couldn't stand him because I just thought he was bully ball, and I didn't think that he had the skill set that we saw from previous great centers. You know, because we were just coming off the David Robinson, Hakeem Olajuwon, Patrick Ewing, Alonzo Mourning days. So now Shaq's there just pushing everyone out of the way, and you saw that in Game 7. Like, basically, the Blazers, Jermaine O'Neal, Brian Grant, Sabonis, they all had their cracks and just picked up fouls on Shaq throughout the game. So we get to Game 7. The game was on NBC, the NBA on NBC. Bob Costas gets you started with the intro.
The Portland Trailblazers and L.A. Lakers have each played nearly 100 games this year. They've split 10 meetings head-to-head, including 3 wins apiece in this Western Conference Final. For one of them, it ends tonight. Game 7, the game which is always decisive and nearly always dramatic. By all accounts, this has been Shaquille O'Neal's best season. But history's account of his career will depend in large part on championships won. Rasheed Wallace has battled the Lakers and sometimes himself, averaging 22 a game while trying to harness his fiery emotions. Kobe Bryant is one of the game's most spectacular young talents. But will he be at his best in his first Game 7? The coaches, Mike Dunleavy, the psychology major from Brooklyn, and Phil Jackson, the Zen master from Montana. Scottie Pippen, a man not content with 6 titles, looking for his first outside Michael Jordan's shadow. He's willed Portland back from the brink of elimination, sometimes with his mere presence. For each of them, it's down to one game. Just one game now. Game 7, next.
Is the NBA on NBC. The 2000 playoffs. Tonight, it's the Portland Trailblazers versus the Los Angeles Lakers.
So there you go, the intro to the Game 7 Western Conference Finals. Did you notice the music, since we got to the 2000s, how it's different than the 90s?
Okay.
Like, they tried to listen to this little jam.
They jazzed it up a little
bit. Listen to the jam under Costas to start.
The Portland Trailblazers and L.A. Lakers have each played nearly 100 games.
It's still got a little bit of a 90s flair to it.
It's so weird.
So when you started playing it, I was like, okay, Costas, the intro, the great intro like we heard when we started doing this during The Last Dance. And I'm like, oh, they were still doing this in the year 2000. Like, that's pretty recent. And then I thought to myself, that was 20 years ago.
The Portland Trailblazers and L.A.
now.
Lakers.
Oh, we are so old.
Oh, yeah.
We are so old.
Yeah.
So old.
When we look at the game itself, back and forth in the first half, in the third quarter, the Blazers start to pull ahead. In the start of the fourth quarter, Bonzi Wells makes 2 free throws with 10:28 left in the fourth quarter. The Blazers are up 15, 75-60. The story of this game, though, is the comeback from the Lakers at home, which, by the way, if you want to make fun of the Lakers crowds now for being sleepy celebrities, watch that game at Staples Center. People are losing their minds in this fourth quarter. It was pretty cool to watch. Then we get to the final minute or so of the game when we see Kobe take over, and then the legendary alley-oop from Kobe to Shaq.
Bryant made two, Wallace missed two, Lakers by two. It's Kobe again. A 20-point swing. Once down by 16, they lead by four. Exactly a minute remains. Pippen for three. Rebound O'Neal. Portland has three timeouts left. The Lakers have two. Bryant to Shaq. Bryant's two free throws and then a jumper gave the Lakers a four-point lead. And now his assist to Shaquille O'Neal makes it a six-point difference with 41 and three-tenths seconds left. L.A. has outscored Portland 25-4 in the last 9 minutes and 50 seconds.
So then the Lakers come all the way back, down 15 in the fourth quarter. They win. They beat the Blazers in the contest. And the final box score, Kobe Bryant, 25 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists. Shaq only with 18, 9 rebounds, 5 assists in the contest. They also got 12 points from Ori off the bench, Shaw with 11 off the bench. The Blazers were led by Rasheed Wallace. He had 30. Scottie Pippen had 12, 18 from Steve Smith. But basically, that's what you have. And the Lakers win 89-84.
You look at the fourth quarter, 18 combined points from Kobe and Shaq, and then the famous alley-oop.
I mean, you know, one of the classic highlights in all of NBA history.
That's why, like, I understand why you didn't like Shaq, but he was so dominant when he played. If he would have stayed in shape the entire season. Think of how much, like, it's such an untapped, like, he's great, Hall of Famer, obviously. But
imagine
more untapped talent because he just didn't stay in shape for the first half of the season.
What if he and Kobe got along?
Ugh.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what if they didn't have a rift between the two of them and Shaq just, I mean, listen, Shaq went on to win another title with Miami. What if Shaq just stayed and was happy to be with Kobe? Like, that could have been a dynasty that could have gone 4 or 5 years, but I think that's why it's always important. You talk about Golden State. You talk about the last dance with the Chicago Bulls. After 3 years of this, it is almost impossible to then bound back together for year four and five and to continue to be that dominant and to keep all the egos in check. It's a perfect example. So that's today's NBA backstory. We have some others on Friday night. We talked about Derrick Rose winning the MVP in 2011. NBA backstories you can find on the ESPN Chicago app on the Black and Abdallah section.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Break. It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Thanks to Tyler Aki for producing today's show. Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Huebner, Xander, coming up next, 10 to noon, right here on ESPN 1000. I saw this yesterday online, Adam, and I thought of you because you've been telling me of all the meals you've been cooking at home since we've been in the shelter-in-place COVID-19 pandemic. You're out there cooking. You're making meals for your wife at home, right?
I didn't tell you that.
Nope. Are you suggesting that I only said that to get us into this topic and it has no truth to it whatsoever?
Yeah, you're lying.
So I saw this column on I saw this online yesterday, thedailymeal.com.
I'll grill, but like I'm not prepping.
No. Absolutely.
We're not prepping meals.
Completely, and that's not, made that up. That was for the intro.
And that's 100%. Not saying my wife needs to cook or anything. Like, we just, we order stuff. We pick stuff up. We, like, I'll grill, and that's like, we'll make a we'll make frozen pizza.
Yeah, we get it. You're not cooking.
Yeah, none of us are cooking.
Many people are, though.
Good for them. Good for them.
So, I saw this on thedailymeal.com. What is your state searching for by state during the coronavirus pandemic? So things at home that people are searching for by state to learn how to cook, because many people are cooking more.
Okay.
Now that we are all staying at home for the most part. I know in the last couple of weeks, people are starting to open up a little bit more. But what does your state want to know how to cook?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the state of Illinois has Google searched the most to try and figure out how to cook throughout this pandemic?
At home Portillo's.
What? At home Portillo's.
Yeah, because, you know, like,
but
people.
But don't you have to pick a beef, a hot dog, a.
No, just whatever.
The chocolate
Portillo's,
cake,
whatever
the
Portillo's is.
Cake.
Whatever. At home Portillo's. No.
It's onion rings?
It's all the same. You get it all when you go, don't you?
Yeah, I kind of do. And it's so. People who don't get the onion rings, you're missing out.
At home Portillo's.
That is wrong. What would be your second guess? At home Portillo's.
Pizza cake.
What's a pizza cake?
Deep dish pizza.
Oh, okay. I'll give the floor to you. Go ahead.
Thin crust is better.
Well, yeah, of course, because you're from here.
Yeah, from here.
Always.
Yep, square cut, thin crust is better. I'm
from
here.
Yeah, tavern style. That's the way to do it.
Yep.
Come on.
Yep.
If you're a tourist, I get it.
Look, it's Chicago.
Part of the deal.
We're in Illinois. We're Chicago. It's definitely not salads, so I know it's not that.
Okay, here's what the state of Illinois, the most people in the state have Googled since we've been in this pandemic to learn how to cook. How to cook a lobster tail. How fancy are we?
Where are you getting lobster?
How fancy are we?
How many times has Cap Googled that for it to show up as the most?
I don't know. There are three states that have that as the answer. How to cook a lobster tail.
Lobster?
Yeah.
In this climate?
Yeah. Fancy. Look how fancy we are. You want to guess the other two states? Illinois, two other states, how to cook lobster.
It's not going to be obvious because it's something that, like, I will tell you this.
How fancy are we cooking
lobster? I don't think it's that. Here's the deal, because people, I think, were saving money in general because restaurants weren't open, so they weren't going out to eat. When you don't go out to eat, you're not spending money on alcohol, you're not spending money on the food, you're not tipping because you're not eating out. So you're like, I can splurge a little at the store. Because I'm going to prepare it.
Let me get a bag of lobster
tails. I'm not tipping myself, obviously. I've got alcohol at home. I'm not spending, you know, $12 for a glass of wine or whatever much you spend for a glass of wine. And whatever, I got everything at home. So I'm going to splurge a little. I'm going to treat myself at home, and I'm going to get lobster tail. So I think it's us, and I'm going to go with North Dakota, and I'm going to go with, I'm trying to think of another landlocked state, Montana.
I'm going to say, you're wrong on both of them. I will give you the two states in just a second. The little description says Illinois residents want to know how to cook a lobster tail. To bake lobster tails, set the oven at 350 degrees.
Okay.
Brush the tails with melted butter and bake them for about 18 minutes or until they hit 140 degrees. Making lobster tails is a great way to make dinner at home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it feels like a restaurant experience.
Yeah, see, I told you. People want that restaurant experience.
Fancy.
We always, when I was younger, and I remember eating lobster like twice when I was younger. But my mom would always boil it. I just remember my mom boiling them, not baking them.
I think you can do that.
Yeah. My dad would go to like Boston or something like that, and he'd bring them back. Business stuff.
In his pockets or?
No, he'd have like a carry-on thing, and it was like a little cooler.
Okay.
Lobster tails.
The two other states.
Lobster.
Arizona.
I was close.
You were close, yeah. A western landlocked
state. I was close.
State. Yeah, yeah. The other one, Wisconsin.
What?
Wisconsin's getting fancy with us, too.
Okay. Listen, when you and I drove through a lot of Wisconsin, we went to a buddy's bachelor party. There were a lot of fish fries. A lot of fish fries take place.
It's close.
So I could understand. You'd be like, okay,
grab some lobster tail.
Let's treat ourselves. Let's
hey
get
there.
It. Yeah, hey there.
Was that your Wisconsin voice?
Oh, yeah, hey there.
Indiana. What did Indiana want to learn to cook during the pandemic? What have they searched on Google to cook?
Because
we've got Wisconsin. Wisconsin is the northern state to Illinois.
Soft shell crab.
No.
Damn.
How to cook bacon.
What?
Indiana. How to cook bacon.
You fry it. Even I know that, and I don't dine on swine.
Oh, you could fry it. You could put it in the oven.
Oh,
put
you know a what's rack good? In the oven. You know what's good? You know what's good? I eat turkey bacon. I grill it.
You could grill bacon?
It's
yeah.
It's good.
I wouldn't... If you put in a cast iron skillet and then put that on the grill, I could
no,
see it.
No, we have like a pan. It's like a sheet. It looks like a cookie sheet.
Like you wouldn't put bacon just on the grill.
No. It looks like a cookie sheet with holes
in
it.
Yeah.
And so you put
with
it on.
With a rack. Yeah. That's what I just said.
No, you said put in a cast iron skillet.
Before that, I said you could put it on a rack and put it in the oven.
Part. I didn't hear that part. Okay. I was thinking how I cook bacon.
Iowa. What would you say for Iowa if we go west from the state of Illinois?
I'm going to keep guessing soft shell crab until I get one.
Here's Iowa. What temperature to cook chicken at?
Ooh.
What temperature to cook chicken at?
Iowa, what have you been doing?
Apparently, they're not cooking chicken a lot.
Now, I did in my grilling, since I've been grilling more, I did get a meat thermometer. So I have been looking up the correct temperatures of meats to get. And I, you know, chicken was one of them.
Since we're talking about the states that surround Illinois, Michigan, pretty close, right? What do you think Michigan has?
Soft shell crab.
Michigan, like Iowa, what temperature to cook chicken at?
How do you guys not know how to cook chicken? You cook chicken.
Are they eating pink chicken? Like, what's going on there?
Well, I mean, listen, you can eat a medium chicken.
Sander and Fred next.
You are listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Medium well.